You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Thursday, everyone. This is Ethan Westerman filling in as host today. And on today's show, we'll talk about the Arkansas basketball team's successful road trip with a pair of blowout wins at Mississippi State and LSU. It's the first time in program history that the Razorbacks have gone on the road and beaten SEC teams in back-to-back games by at least 20 points. Anthony Christensen's in the studio with me, and we'll dive into what went right for the Razorbacks in those games. But first, a word for Broody's Barbecue.
I'm William Clark Green. Been chasing songs all over this great country for years now. It's been a blast, but the road will wear you out. Good food makes it better. Broody's is the go-to for me and the crew. No frills, just real Texas barbecue done right. Brisket, ribs, cream corn, that famous sauce. It's like a little piece of home when you're nowhere near it. Don't get me started on those breakfast tacos. Serve till 10 a.m., which is perfect if you're living on musician time. Find a Broody's at Broody's.com. Who knows, you might just bump into me in line.
Welcome back in. Like I said, we've got Anthony Christensen in the studio today. The Razorbacks lived life on the road with a few flights sprinkled in between the past week. You lived life on the road with no such thing.
In the car.
Yeah, you got to be in both Starkville and Baton Rouge within a matter of a few days, and your method of transportation was car and highway.
Oh, yeah.
We're glad to have you back in Fayetteville, Anthony.
I'm tired.
I'm sure.
No, I mean, obviously – Hank and Matt Byrne were there with us, with me. We took shifts driving. I did not sleep well on the road at all. Like I didn't sleep in the car at all, but like in the hotels, like I did not get a full night of sleep once. I woke up at least once every night. It was tough. You know what? We made it.
Most interesting moment that happened on in this trip. What's the most, it could be Starkville or Baton Rouge. Any interesting, surprising, bizarre things? I feel like something always comes out of these.
I don't know that there's anything like super interesting. I didn't get to see Mike the Tiger, which is a little disappointing. But I mean, watching the Super Bowl at like a semi-empty Buffalo Wild Wings in Columbus, Mississippi was.
Kind of
interesting.
I was hoping you were about to say you watched it from like a Fairfield Inn in like middle of nowhere Mississippi or something.
No, no, no. We stayed at a Comfort Inn in Mississippi, and then a Holiday Inn in Louisiana, and both decent hotels. No complaints. Certainly stayed in some worse ones in the past, looking back at it. But yeah, no complaints. It was just not the typical Super Bowl viewing experience, but you know what? Hey, I'm a St. Louis guy. The Patriots lost. Let's go.
it's funny because you're talking about all this and it sounds miserable to me, but I'm glad.
Oh no, I love being
on
the
road. I'm glad y'all have a great time.
Yeah,
with
no,
it.
I mean, hey, like I view the travel aspect of this job as one of my favorite parts of it. I like getting out and seeing different parts of the country that I otherwise probably wouldn't. Like, if I wasn't a college basketball reporter, would I ever go to Starkville, Mississippi? Probably not. Would I ever go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana? Probably not. I mean, would I have ever gone to Providence if I hadn't gone to the NCAA tournament and wearing my little t-shirt? Probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I have fun with it. I like experiencing different places, so.
Well, sorry you didn't get to see Mike the Tiger. When I went down there for the football game earlier this year, that was really cool.
I need to see the Tiger. I want to pet him.
So
that would be a bad idea.
Pivoting to the team, Arkansas obviously had a disappointing loss to Kentucky. I'm not going to say Kentucky's playing well right now. Put the Vanderbilt game aside, but a disappointing loss to them considering you had a packed house. You know, obviously some emotions evolved at that game. Just didn't play very well. I mean, got kind of out physicaled. But then they had a week off.
You look at that game too. I mean, if they had won that game, they'd be on a 7-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Or a
7.
Yes, 7.
Yeah. But
see, my mind, it's gone.
But they play that game. It's a disappointing game, and then they have a week off. You know, say what you want about the level of competition, at Mississippi State and LSU, but at least from those performances, it seems like maybe that week off after that disappointing game was maybe what the doctor ordered for the team.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like you said, it's, you know, probably the two worst teams they've got left on their schedule. So I guess that kind of came at the right time, but you're still on the road. You still have to, you know, go and play in and travel and all of that, and you know, deal with everything that comes with it. And they're still, you know, SEC level teams, right? I mean, they've, you know, neither of those teams are going winless in the SEC, so you know, there's still a lot of challenges to that. And then to go and play as well as they did, and you know, win as emphatically as they did, you know, I was you know, really impressed with the level of play, especially being shorthanded. Obviously, Carter Knox and DJ Wagner both out for both of those games. Oh goodness, excuse me. you know, that I thought was really impressive. And you know, I mean, the defense I thought was good, which isn't something that we've said a lot, you know, over the course of this season. I think that's still a concern. But you know, holding, you know, two conference opponents back to back to, you know, fewer than 70 points, I thought was huge. You know, I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's only the third time they've held a, you know, top 100 team in the country to, you know, fewer than 70 points this season. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about this trip on both ends of the ball. And, you know, you get out of it, you know, with the two wins that never really were in question. And, you know, maybe you even come out of it with an extra piece to your rotation with Isaiah Seely playing pretty well and, you know, especially in the Mississippi State game, but I thought he had some nice moments against LSU as well. So, you know, and now, I mean, obviously Carter Knox and DJ Wagner, whenever they return, how do you deal with that? You know, what happens there? But yeah, no, successful two trip swing for Arkansas and a fun 5 days on the road for me.
Yeah. I think one of the questions that a lot of people ask with this team right now is how can they look so good in some games? Like, I mean, these past two games, like, let off with, like, the first time they've ever won back-to-back SEC road games by at least 20. You think about, you know, the South Carolina game, obviously another team that's not doing well, South Carolina, but they looked really good in that game. And you think even about Vanderbilt, that is a team that's doing well, and they looked really good in that game. And then they have the games like Auburn. I know we'll get into Auburn later because they play them again this weekend, where they look very bad. You go to the Georgia game, where I know that they pieced together a comeback, put themselves in position to maybe win at the end, but too many bad periods in that game led to a loss. And then, you know, Kentucky, they kind of just were flat. You know, what do you think it is? Like, how can this team be so either dominant and good or just frankly not very good?
Well, I think sometimes it just kind of comes down to your basketball's kind of a funny game. I mean, you know, sometimes the shots are falling, sometimes they're not. You know, and then other times, you know, I think it does kind of come back to the defense, like we were saying earlier, which is why I think, you know, those two performances over the past week were so big for them. Was, you know, that not just were they scoring at pretty much at will, but they also played really well defensively. And, you know, John Calipari had said they were trying to do some different things with the defense. And yeah, I thought, you know, that was pretty evident from those two games. So I think that's kind of the big thing with it. You know, the physicality. You know, they were out-rebounded by LSU, which, you know, LSU is a pretty okay rebounding team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And it felt like a lot of those...
Good offensive rebounding team, mediocre defense.
I must say, it felt like those came off of, this was such a terrible shot, or like blowing a layup. They got a lot of like, oh, great, let's miss three layups in a row.
Yeah, there was like one possession, it felt like they missed 70 shots, and you know, then the crowd started booing, and like, I always feel bad for college kids when they get booed. Like, I know everybody's obviously getting paid and everything now, but I mean, they're still, you know, I don't know, they're still kids, I guess, but I say as some of them are my age, but you know, it is what it is. But I don't
Malik
know.
Malik Thomas and Darius Sakuf showed that they're still kids by playing rock, paper, scissors for who.
Yeah, see, that was really fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was a funny moment.
But to your point, it seemed like defensively, they, I mean, even with the rebounding, the physicality stuff, like, you know, blocking shots, et cetera, that went pretty well.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the 10 blocks against LSU matched a season high. You know, the last time they hit that mark was against Tennessee. Obviously, that was a big win for them. You know, so, yeah, the defense, I thought, was really good. I mean, I think a lot of that was anchored by the front court. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, you want the rebounding to be better, but, you know, 10 blocks. I don't think anybody's going to complain about that. Trevin Brazil had 4 steals and 5 blocks against LSU. And, you know, Mississippi State is known for that physicality and, you know, has been, you know, has had that identity since Chris Jans got there. And, you know, Arkansas, you know, dominated the game from that perspective. So I think that's a big thing or a big deal, you know, defensively to have those marks. And still, you want the rebounding to be better, especially in that LSU game. But, you know, like I said, LSU is a decent offensive rebounding team. Not the best, but, you know, defensively, I just thought it was, you know, it was a very productive trip. And yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, because physicality was the word after the Tennessee game, or the Kentucky game, after Kentucky just kind of dominated physicality. You know, sometimes I think people be like, oh, no, there's a game, you know, after this that's against a team that's known for being physical. I think sometimes that can be good for getting a team to maybe lock in practice, because you know that it's you're not about to, you know, face a team where you can afford to not be physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that you've got that coming up with Auburn. I mean, obviously Auburn's not you know, known for its physicality in the same sense that like Tennessee or Mississippi State is, but you know, it's still a physical team that, you know, can, you know, hurt you inside and hurt you in the boards and all of that. I think we saw that when Arkansas went down to Neville Arena earlier this season. But yeah, I mean, to your point, I think that does kind of help you lock in. And, you know, obviously you want to be at full strength, but, you know, the physicality is, you know, it's big. You know, the SEC is a physical league. I mean, it's not, you know, as physical as the Big Ten by, you know, just kind of when you look at the games and stuff. But, you know, it's still a physical league. You need to be ready for you know, that style of play against a lot of teams. You know, so... Yeah. Yep.
You mentioned it a little bit, but, you know, obviously Carter Knox, knee, DJ Wagner, ankle, few injuries that by all
Malik
accounts.
Malik Ewan, forehead.
Yeah. Malik Ewan, now forehead. Things that, you know, by all accounts with how they talk about it, doesn't seem like a super, like, long-term concern. It seems like they're just working to get him 100% maybe to get him back. But, you know, you had a smaller rotation for back-to-back games. Like, we'll preface every single time talking about these two. The level of competition against Mississippi State and LSU is not, like, they're not some of the better SEC teams. Yeah. But, I mean, in those games with a smaller rotation, Arkansas looked really good. You know, what do you think they do when those players are back? Like, how do you manage a rotation? Do you want to throw off that a smaller rotation's looked well? How do you ease the guys in? I guess, what's your perspective?
Yeah, I think, I don't think you just, like, throw them in and just say, yep, good luck. I think you probably ease them back in, especially in practice. And, you know, we don't know, you know, just how serious the injuries are, because, I mean, it's just not something that we're privy to, but, you know, it doesn't sound like it's like, you know, some devastating season ending injuries or anything like that. So, you know, as for how you, you know, balance that, you know, obviously the rotations, you know, were, you know, really good against Mississippi State and LSU, and they got to try a couple of different things as well. You know, they did the three big lineup for a little bit against Mississippi State. They went small against LSU, and that didn't really work very well for the few minutes that was the case. LSU went on a 6-0 run, and Arkansas was 0-5 from the field. So maybe they, you know, turn away from some small ball for a little bit. But yeah, I think you know, getting those guys back, it gets you into a more, you know, solidified rotation, if that makes sense. You don't have to, you know, rely on things that you've only seen in practice or only, you know, are throwing together and trying in games that you're up by 400 points in. You know, it gives you, you know, I guess more of a known quantity, you know, and like I said, I don't necessarily think that you just, you know, throw those guys back in there as soon as you're comfortable with it. I think you ease them back in, but I think the biggest question is, you know, where do you, you know, did Isaiah Seely, you know, earn, you know, more run, you know, from those two games? And I think it'll be interesting to see what the answer to that question is, because I, you know, like I said earlier, I think he was really good against Mississippi State. You know, didn't have quite the game against LSU, excuse me, but, you know, I still thought he had a couple of bright moments. So I think if nothing else, it shows that if you're in a position where you've got guys who go down, or, you know, guys who get in foul trouble, you can, if nothing else, rely on him to go in and give you some solid minutes. But yeah, I think from that perspective, I think it just gives you, you know, a more solid rotation where you're not having to, you know, do things that you haven't necessarily done throughout the rest of the season.
Want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them today at 507 South Main in Bentonville, or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Sticking with the rotation, you know, you brought him up a second ago. Isaiah Seely, you know, had that pretty solid game against Mississippi State, and then he played against LSU. And, you know, you alluded to it. I think at bare minimum now, we know he's not a liability. Like, mm-hmm. it's he can maybe even help the team. But we know that he can be on the court in these situations. Another guy who I thought maybe benefited from the smaller rotation, you know, we talked about, we'll get into Trevin Brazil a little bit more and some others, but Billy Richmond, it feels like for him, my question was with the smaller rotation, with the way that Billy Richmond plays, can he, you know, stay on the court because he's not getting in foul trouble? Can he maybe tame it a little bit and be selective with, you know, some of the aggressive play that he does? I felt like he was very important in these games. He didn't have like the flashiest stat line of all time, but he was really solid and affected things. I think maybe him being on the court more too, maybe it helped him get in a rhythm. I guess, what are your thoughts on how Billy Richmond played against Mississippi State and LSU?
Yeah, I thought he was really good in both games. You know, obviously, you know, you think about Billy Richmond, even when he was coming out of high school, you think about his defense and just a kind of, you know, all of those effort plays that he has. And, you know, I think you saw that, you know, especially in those two games. You know, I think everybody's kind of talked and written about it at this point, just, you know, how much he's expanded his offensive game and how much, you know, he's grown there. You know, he's not the most reliable three-point shooter, but, you know, it's something that he can do now. And, you know, obviously he's, you know, a top-level athlete who can get to the rim, and, you know, he's a lob threat, and you know, he's a ball handler as well. I mean, he's been used as a backup point guard in the past. So, but, you know, with him in these games, you know, I thought he was really good. You know, it's, you know, now it kind of becomes a question: do you leave him in the starting lineup and, you know, let him, you know, bring that energy early before bringing Carter Knox into the game, or do you like bringing him off the bench so you get that effort play, you know, against maybe more tired bodies? That's the question for, I guess, them to answer. But I thought he was really good. I thought he was effective. You know, he didn't get into any foul trouble. I mean, he got, I think, 3 fouls against Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe a minor foul trouble. But yeah, I thought he was really good. I thought he was really effective on the defensive end. And yeah, and obviously, you know, it kind of comes with the caveat of it being Mississippi State and LSU. Sure, but, you know, it's like I said earlier, it's still 2 road SEC games that you go in and you play as well as you did. And yeah, I think he's a big part of, you know, the success that they had, especially on the defensive end, for sure. So, you know, does he, you know, how much did he benefit? I thought he benefited a lot. I think it gave him the opportunity to get more extended run. Not that he, you know, has struggled for playing time by any means, but yeah, I mean, he's played 57% of minutes this season, and, you know, I think he definitely benefited from it for sure.
It's funny because I feel like in almost all of these Arkansas wins, like, you can make a case at the end of the game of like, oh, like Darius Acuff is the player of the game just because he's, you know, gonna get his points. He's such a good player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the LSU game, I thought it was actually pretty clear. You know, Darius Acuff led him in scoring and everything, but Trevin Brazil was, I thought, just kind of clearly the player of the game because of what he brought from rebounding. And then, he had his blocked shots, but if there was a stat kept for just shots altered just from, like, him being there, I would have been curious to see that. You know, he gets a double-double, and he just affected the game in so many ways. And John Calipari says afterward that Trevin Brazil's a guy that he needs to play a lot of minutes. And even, I think, went as far to say that Trevin Brazil, you know, gets mad getting taken out. Like, he wants to be out there. You know, what are your thoughts on maybe Trevin Brazil's usage moving forward and what he's done to, you know, because I think he's a player that we've said it over and over that he can be the X factor for this team on how they look, how they perform. He has hit some lulls along the way, but, you know, he's coming off of one of his better games of the year.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you mentioned the shot altering. You know, that's something Matt McMahon mentioned after the game, just like beyond the 5 blocks, you know, he altered, you know, just a ton of stuff as well. So, I mean, I thought he was exceptional in that game. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks, 4 steals, just really doing everything. I believe he had an assist as well. So he was everywhere. So, yeah, and, you know, to that point, you know, you've mentioned it throughout the season. You know, he's been a huge part of most of all the success Arkansas has had. I mean, you know, looking back, like the Texas Tech game, for example, a double-double in that game and just how important he was to that, and, you know, with how well that win has aged to this point. You know, so with his usage, like you said, John Calipari said, you know, he's a guy who, you know, is probably going to need to play a lot of minutes. He wants to play a lot of minutes, doesn't like getting taken out of the game, which I think those are qualities you want, especially in a guy like him who, you know, he's going through his – his last little bit of college basketball, just about a month left in the regular season before the SEC tournament and obviously the NCAA tournament beyond that. So, you know, his usage, I could see it, you know, going up for sure. I think, you know, he's a guy who's played about 70% of the minutes so far this season, and, you know, that's with a game missed as well. So he's just been, yeah, he's been really good. You know, he's a 3-point threat. You know, shoots about 37% from three and about 65% from two. I think he's effective off the dribble. I mean, he's not the quickest dribbler by any means, and some of that is because he's a bigger guy, you know, a taller guy. So, you know, he's not going to be as quick as Darius Aycott or Malik Thomas, but, you know, I think he's good off the dribble. He doesn't have a ton of turnovers, you know, especially for a big guy who handles the ball as much as he does. You know, I could see his usage going up, and I think that's something, especially when he's playing as well as he did against LSU. You know, I think that's something that's going to be a big benefit for Arkansas going down the line.
It's funny we talk about this with, like, him not wanting to get taken out of the game and Calipari saying he needs to, you know, maybe be one of the guys that with a short rotation plays near 40 minutes. It's funny because last year, I think it was Providence, might have been Nashville. I remember I was at one of the games, and they have open locker rooms there. And I just asked Trevin Brazil, because obviously last year he had a strong end of the season. It was kind of, you know, maybe what propelled him into this offseason, et cetera, the success that he's having was the end of last year. I remember asking him, I was like, what changed? And he said, I'm playing now. Like, it was simple. Like, he made it that simple. Like, I'm on the court more. And you can just get the sense from him that, like, at least in that moment I did, that he's a guy that he truly does, like, want the – he wants the bigger moments. He wants to be out there. I think that, you know, if you're going to take one maybe positive, like the biggest positive that's happened player development-wise since Calipari's been here, I would say Trevin Brazil is pretty clearly, the biggest example of he's just made a huge jump from the moment, from, you know, whenever Calipari first got here to now, and kind of what, you know, what he means to this team.
Yeah, this gives me an opportunity to plug what I wrote yesterday in the car, because I wrote a little bit about that. I mean, when John Calipari, you know, first arrived on campus, you know, he said that he had talked to Trevin Brazil, and he's like, you're better than I thought. And he said, and then Trevin Brazil responded, I told you, or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, you saw that development down the stretch last season, especially, you know, he had the big game at Vanderbilt, and, you know, winning that game, it didn't, like, lock up an NCAA tournament appearance by any means, but it certainly made it a lot more likely than not. And, you know, looking back at that development and seeing, you know, where he is now, you know, I think that's, yeah, it speaks to, you know, him, his ability to be coached, which is something that's big for any player who wants to get up and play at the next level. And yeah, I think it's a credit to the coaching staff as well that he's, you know, he's developed as much as he has and become, you know, as important of a player as he is become for them this season. And yeah, I think that's, yeah, it's a credit to everybody involved. And, you know, obviously you saw that against LSU. You've seen that, you know, against Texas Tech, against, you know, a lot of other teams this season. You know, whether he's the best player on the floor or he's a supplemental piece, you know, he's been effective in whatever his role in any given game has been. And yeah, I think that's a big part of, you know, Arkansas's success so far this season.
Let's touch on Auburn real quick before we get out of here. Coming up this Saturday, it's one of the three, you know, home and home games that they have in the regular season. Obviously, the last time they went down there, it did not go well. A lot has to go different this time around if they want a different result, because I there weren't a whole lot of positives you could point to from that game. It was Calipari's annual burn the tape game. We've now seen that 2 years in a row. It was South Carolina the year before, whenever he's like, burn the tape, this isn't my team, yada yada. Like, I think we now know that you'll get a burn the tape at least once a year. But you know, I still think, you know, even if it wasn't a game where Arkansas, like, I think you could make the argument Arkansas maybe played its worst and Auburn played to its best, to where you got a culmination of it all. But even in a game like that, though, I think there's probably some things you can take from it that you're like, that has to go different than last time. What are some of those things that you're looking, when you look back to that game at Neville Arena, that just has to be different for Arkansas if they want a chance to win this one on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the first thing that you look at is, I think, the physicality, like we mentioned earlier. I think Arkansas, you know, it got out rebounded pretty handily. I don't remember the exact figures, but, you know, the paint points were pretty lopsided, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, there was a lot that just kind of, I mean, everything kind of went wrong in that game, right? I mean, it just wasn't it was not a pretty game if you're looking at it from Arkansas's perspective. You know, Carter Knox went down in that game with a hip injury, and you know, fortunately for him and for Arkansas, it wasn't anything super serious. He played in the next game against South Carolina. But yeah, I think there's just a ton of different areas they needed to be better. I mean, Keyshawn Hall, you know, he went into that game and he dropped 32 points and was really efficient, had 5 assists. And, you know, he's a guy who's going to be, you know, top of the scouting report again, just because of how well he's played this season. You know, Auburn's on a 3-game losing streak, but in that stretch, you know, he's scored 21, 24, 13. You know, bad game against Vanderbilt for his standards, went 0 of 2 from 2-point range and 3 of 5 from 3. But, you know, he's still a guy who can hurt you in a lot of different ways. And Auburn, kind of like it was in the reverse fixture, is kind of desperate for a result. You know, 3 games lost in a row with Tennessee, Alabama, Vanderbilt, obviously three teams that are good. There's no shame in losing to those teams, but, you know, Auburn needs a result. Auburn needs a win. So, and it's, you know, they had lost 3 of 4 going into the game down at Neville Arena. So it's kind of a similar position for Auburn to, you know, be coming up and playing against Arkansas. It's in a desperation mode, I guess, if you will, and, you know, it needs a win. So I think you need to, I guess, take those lessons and make sure that you're ready for a team that is as desperate as Auburn is going to be. And yeah, just be ready, I guess. And you know, sometimes it's just, you know, you catch a team on the wrong day. And, you know, I think that's kind of what happened for Auburn, or for Arkansas, excuse me, against Auburn. And, you know, maybe that's lesson learned and they're ready for it. But yeah, I think they'll certainly need to be, just because, I mean, Auburn again is coming into this game in kind of a desperate need of a win.
Well, we'll be back with another show tomorrow to preview the Auburn game. But until then, you can read all of our coverage online at wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everyone.